the latest report I read on one of your articles was 6 weeks, they're saying, for Corey Perry. Obviously, it's a big loss for the Ducks, but, you know, this team's been pretty consistent at home and on the road, and they've had a lot of injuries and been able to overcome them. How come?
Well, they have a lot of depth. There's no question about that. And, you know, it has served them well. It's a question, I guess, of how long they're going to be able to overcome all this. Obviously, Corey Perry, the biggest injury of all. But I guess the good news is it's only 3 or 4 weeks, they say. When he went down the other night in Minnesota, it looked like it might be significantly longer than that. So if it's only a month or less, they can probably deal with that.
Yeah, you mentioned depth, Dan. Who steps in tonight against the Oilers? Is it going to be Smith-Pelly?
I think so. He played there the other night in Winnipeg with Rennie Bork on the left side. Smith-Pelly actually had been playing center, which was really kind of a unexpected experiment. He's pretty much been a winger his whole career, with the exception of a little bit of time at Norfolk last season. They had moved him to center just because they kind of had a little extra depth on the wing, and they wanted to see if he could play center, and he did pretty well there. But when Corey Perry went down, the logical move was to put him back on the right side, and at least for now, I think he'll be with Getzlaff, and at least for now, Rennie Bork.
Rennie Bork, Calgary fans, Montreal fans would say, man, he always showed potential. We saw it last year in the playoffs. How has he looked since coming over in that deal?
Well, to be honest, he didn't do a whole lot in his first few games, but maybe that shouldn't be surprising given how his season had gone. He'd been in the American League, and, you know, he played better the other night in Winnipeg, or the other day in Winnipeg, to be precise. Got a power play goal, and hopefully that'll give him a little bit of confidence going forward. You know, I think the jury's out. We'll see how he does, and right around the corner is Danny Heatley coming back from injury. So the Ducks are still looking for that left winger to play on the top line. Certainly Matt Bolesky has played there at times and played well. Patrick Maroon has. But if Rennie Bork or Danny Heatley can, you know, play consistently well, that would certainly help.
Bolesky has 13 goals, second most on the team behind Corey Perry, Dan. Now, he only has 2 assists. But is this a guy who you could see as a regular line mate? And why hasn't he been able to stick there on a full-time basis?
The problem with Matt Bolesky in the past has been, like with a lot of young players, inconsistency. He has been very good at times playing with Getzlaff and Perry, but usually it's only gone for 2 or 3 games, and then he'd been moved off that line. I think the difference with Matt this year is I think he's bringing it pretty much every night. And this is a guy with a really nice combination of ability. He's certainly capable of playing physically, doing dirty work in the corners, and he has a heck of a shot. So it's really no surprise that he's scoring goals. I think that as he's matured and he's grown more comfortable in the league and with his game, we're starting to see that Matt Bolesky on more of an every-night basis. And it's not a fluke that he has 13 goals. In fact, he should have 14. One was waved off the other day because of a very dubious interference penalty on him in front of the net. Should have been his 14th goal.
So by dubious, you mean bad call.
Well, let's just say, as anyone who goes to the front of the net can attest, you do that, and you're going to get banged around a bit.
Yep.
So Matt just pushed off the defenseman very slightly, got himself free, batted in a rebound, and they waved it off and called an interference penalty on him. He was floored by it. I was, too, from the broadcast booth. Couldn't believe the call, but that happens on occasion.
Dan Wood joins us talking Ducks, Oilers taking on the Quackers tonight. The Ducks have dressed 13 different defensemen so far this year. A lot of that due to injuries. They trade for Eric Brewery, plays 2 games, gets hurt in the second game. Which 6 are going to go tonight?
Tonight I would expect we will see Fowler, Manson, Lindholm, Fistrick, Stoner, and Vatanen.
Sammy Vatanen, 21 points on the back end, 7 goals. Man, this guy has just emerged. Is he as good of an offensive player as the stats suggest?
Yes, he is. He's a very good offensive player. And, in fact, I don't remember where the World Juniors were that year. Maybe they were in Edmonton and Calgary, I forget. But I watched Sammy play on television in the World Juniors, and he was just tremendous. rushing the puck and creating offensive opportunities for Team Finland. And I thought to myself at the time, like, well, that's not going to work in the NHL. But it has of late. I mean, he has put together some incredible forays through defenses to create goals. He's got a good shot. He's a good skater. He's slippery. I'm sure every pre-scout, every opposition is talking about, you got to hit this guy, but that's easier said than done. Sammy's a very good offensive player. He's growing into his game defensively. That's still a work in progress. He's not bad, but certainly he can get better. And he's not a big guy, so he has to play smart, and he's learning as he goes. This is really his first full season in the league, so it's been very much fun watching Sammy Vatanen develop.
Dan, talk a little bit about Ryan Kesler. I mean, 3 or 4 years ago, he was as good as just about anybody you'd care to name in terms of being a combination of skill, an edgy guy, a guy who could really skate. Some tough years. He seems to be on the bounce back now.
Yeah, he's played real well, Robin. And I think Ryan Kesler is exactly what the Ducks needed to add up front to pair with Ryan Getzlaff and give the club two really big-time centermen. And we all know, you know, it starts in the middle with your goaltending, your defense, and your centers. Ryan Kesler has played some tremendous games this season. He really stepped up Sunday in Winnipeg in the absence of Corey Perry. He was really good in two games against the Kings earlier this season. And, you know, let's cut to the chase. If you're talking about the Ducks, you're talking about, are they going to be able to beat the Kings in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about. And getting Ryan Kesler certainly matches up the Ducks better with the Kings at center, and should enhance the Ducks' opportunity there. Is it enough? I don't know. But, you know, as long as Ryan Kesler stays healthy, his game and his demeanor, and by that I mean his competitiveness, his feistiness, that's a really good addition to this team, especially when Corey Perry's in the lineup, because then you've got two of those type guys.
One last one on Josh Manson, son of Dave. You know what? I don't know if he's as vicious as his old man, but he definitely is very intense. You know, I see him. He's involved physically in a lot of them. Is he a guy that, when they get healthy, can he stay in the lineup, or is he likely going to get some more seasoning in the AHL?
I believe he will get some more seasoning in the AHL. You know, their numbers are pretty imposing if they ever get all their defensemen healthy. It would be tough for Josh, I think, to stay in the NHL if that were the case. Having said that, you know, he's been a real surprise in terms of how quickly he's developed. He was playing college hockey less than a year ago. You know, he's come in and really filled a void with all these injuries they've had on defense. Now, he's also struggled a bit at times, you know, which is not unusual for a young defenseman. You know, he has some things to learn, but boy, you know, he's a guy, a sixth-round draft pick, that I don't think anyone could have counted on. But now the beauty of it is I think the Ducks realize that, you know, let's say come playoff time they get in a bind, they need another body on defense. It's nice to know that Josh Manson has this experience that he's gotten here lately, and you can call on him. He's been really, really good considering what you might have expected from him.
When is Brizgalov going to make his appearance?
You know, we don't know that, or at least I don't. No one seems to. I think it's going to really depend on, you know, how quickly he can get in shape and be in game shape. He is in Norfolk in the American League. He's going to have a little conditioning stint down there. I would think that he'll play at least a game, maybe two or three, you know, and kind of see how he does, how he feels. Certainly they'd like to get him here sooner than later because they have a need. Freddie Anderson has carried the ball completely since John Gibson and most recently Jason LaBarbera got hurt. So they signed Briz for a reason. They need to get him here as soon as they can, but obviously he's got to be ready. So, you know, I'm guessing maybe in a week or so, just throwing it at the wall.
Dan, always good to catch up with you. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll see you Friday in Edmonton.
Can't wait. Thanks for having me, guys.